Hello and welcome to the An Inspired Life podcast. This is the home of spiritual and also really raw human conversations that inspire us to stop talking about spirituality and actually live our divine truth. My name is Kiara O'Leary. I'm a divine change agent, a devoted stand for the undiluted divine power within each of us, and your host. Every week I speak to an inspiring thought leader from around the world in an unscripted, we have no idea where it's going, totally intuitively guided conversation to bring you practical tips that you can apply immediately to create powerful shifts in your life. Each episode is also a potent transmission that will raise your vibration simply by listening. And I'm honored to share with you this week, we have two guests, not just one. Annalie McCoth and Roman Zakirov are conscious relationship coaches. And they are also two of my favorite humans and souls in the whole world. And they are such an inspiration to me because they actually live what they teach. I've seen it in action. I've seen them get triggered in their relationship, and I've seen them navigate that so beautifully and with such ownership and self-responsibility and love and compassion. So through their own sacred union, they've discovered important tools that help to strengthen relationships and communication. They support men, women, and couples who want to transcend the normal relationship by helping them uncover, activate, and access a new paradigm and template of relationships through unconditional love, connection, and communication. And we talk about so many things in this episode, but some of the favorite ones for me were how we moderate and filter ourselves in relationships to gain another's love and approval, but lose ourselves in the process. The two words that guarantee you're triggered, and other ways to know when you're being triggered. A trick to give and receive feedback with your loved ones that bypasses defensiveness, and how to hear your partner and honor them without taking responsibility for their feelings and without moderating who you are. Relationships are our biggest spiritual growth tool, and that is all about what we're talking about today. So enjoy this episode with two of my favorite souls in the whole world, and I'll see you on the other side.
I am so excited to have you guys here with me. It's
awesome. Thanks so much for having us on.
We're so awesome. Excited we're to be here.
You two are seriously some of my favorite people in the whole world. So I'm just so thrilled to be able to share you with my incredible podcast audience as well. So do you want to tell us a little bit about you both? And I know, there's like so much, right?
Where do you want to know?
All right, Annalie, can you give us a bit of a backstory on your life first, and then we'll go to Roman? So, like I could tell it. So I know
a short version.
We could be here for a while. So basically where I started my spiritual journey was around 4.5 years ago. I was in a very toxic relationship and I had two children at the time, and I had a huge wake-up call, and I realized that I had been playing out the same like pattern that my parents had been playing out in terms of relationships. And I had run away from being that because I'd gone through it as a child. My parents stayed together for the sake of the kids in the relationship, regardless of how happy they were. They weren't happy at all. So I knew what that was like as a child growing up, and I vowed to myself that I would never do the same thing. But what ended up happening was I ended up in the same exact situation. No matter how much I tried to run away from it, but what I discovered was that we actually seek what we know, and we just end up doing what we know because we don't know anything else. So I didn't have anything else to model off of what a relationship looks like. And so that was a huge catalyst. That relationship and my former partner was a huge catalyst for me to really dive into the work that I do today.
Mm, yeah, and you really live your work, which is why I'm thrilled to call you my friend and thrilled to be able to share you today, because you really do live it. And we'll come back to that. Yeah, we will come back to that. But Roman, can you tell us a little bit of your backstory?
Yeah. Journey started about nearly 10 years ago now. So I've been in this game for a little while, and it all started from, you know, having this, I growing up had this kind of perfect world. I had this perfect reality. I had great parents that loved me. I had lots of friends on the outside. Excuse me. Everything looked great. Everything, my life, I should be happy. Like, everything was going great. But I started, like, my internal was very different. As you know, from a very young age, I had low self-esteem, low confidence. I didn't believe in myself, but that's not what it looked like on the outside. I looked very confident. I looked like I had it all together. I had it all.
Mm.
And as I got older, these insecurities started to get worse. And by the time I was 18, 19, I couldn't go to a shopping center by myself. I couldn't be with people. I couldn't go to a restaurant because I was so anxious and so nervous, because I thought, like, this whole world was caving in on me. And things got quite bad for me. And for me, it got to a point where I was thinking, I either end it now or do something about it. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, it was actually my mum. She did a course that she got so much value from it, and she said, go check it out. And she knew nothing about what I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
She had no idea. But I'm like, it was kind of like this, I don't know whether it was guidance, whatever it was at the time, I'm like, I'm just going to go there and check it out. And I went there, and there was a guy that stood up at the end of this course and shared that he used to be scared of people. And he was standing in front of 300 people and talking to everyone. And I'm like, wow, if he can get that, what can I have?
Mm.
So for me, it was really a way to find myself again, to rediscover what was there. And then after these 3 days, I really dove into myself and discovered, you know, those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions aren't me. And that kind of, for me, started this kind of binge on personal development. Wow, I walked out of there totally different. You know, how I saw the world, how I saw people. I came out and shared with all my friends and the people I knew. Like, I was totally scared of you. I was always worried about what you think and all that. And they're like, what do you mean, Roman? You had it all together. And then it created this kind of connection and intimacy with other people, when I could open myself up to other people. What I really saw is other people opening up about their stuff. Like, yeah, I feel the same. You know, sometimes I worry about this. And it kind of bonded us even more. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And from then on, it kind of just kept going and going and going.
Mm.
That was kind of the catalyst for that. Yeah.
Thank you. And what you said there about you looked like you had this perfect life on the outside, do you think that even, we've been talking about this a lot in the podcast recently, do you think that that image of perfection on the outside is actually why you felt so suffocated? Like, you were like, shit, I can't be the real version of me because I'm keeping up this perfect image and I can't keep it up, so I don't know how to keep doing this anymore. Do you think that was the trapping point?
Yeah, definitely, because it is. It's like I constantly had to think about what I said to what person. Because it's like, was never actually relaxed. I looked calm and whatever, but like internal was like dialogue going on, and I have to keep up, like you said, this perfect image, this perfect life, and it's so, so hard to do. And I was never even aware of that. That's what I was doing. Oh. But looking back at it, of course, it's like we have to keep this mask, we have to keep this persona to everyone, and it's like being different with everyone. It's like then I kind of lost myself, and it's like, who am I really at the core? It's like, it's easy to show what everyone wants me to see or what everyone else wants to see.
Yeah.
But it's like, where's the real me, and do I like me?
Yeah.
Inside of all of that, and it definitely is very suffocating.
And we've talked about before how so Roman and Annalie and a few of our friends, we had a campfire and we made a fort at my house and we all slept under the fort. It was so amazing. One of the best nights of my life. And on that night, Roman was hilarious. Like he really was. He just kept saying these funny things and he was so funny. And then I caught up with Roman like a few weeks later and we were talking about the thoughts that go on underneath and behind that. So there's like you say something funny and then there's like this little part inside of you that's like, oh, that worked. We should do that again.
Yeah. And then, more of that.
Yeah. And then it was like, don't do it too much, Roman. You don't want to wear it out.
You gotta save that.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about where do you two find that you are still even, like, let's get really up to date with it, yeah, moderating yourself to show a version of yourself to the world that you think is the version that will be the most loved, which is what we all want. Or if you feel like there's something else that you're looking for, tell us that as well. But yeah, I'd love to know, like, where are you still working on that stuff?
Yeah, awesome.
Well, we work on it every day in our relationship. Constantly. Constantly. And it definitely takes us being self-responsible and really reflecting of like how authentic are we being with each other. I think this relationship has been such a huge like growth and expansion for both of us to come more into our authenticity, but it's given us a really good baseline of like what we want to create outside of this relationship. So for example, like with friendships, you know, you and I only connected, you know, 3 months ago, and I feel as though, you know, it's the most authentic relationship I've ever had. And it's all due to having this relationship as a guideline, as a baseline of what we want to create outside of us. And so I definitely struggle, like for me, if we're getting really honest, is online. For me, online, like social media and that kind of thing, I can get sucked into the whole like, oh, should I post that? Or is that too full of myself? Or should I be more like quiet about that, or should I be louder about that? Or there's all these things that go through my head, especially with social media, and that is a place that I'm sort of working towards to be able to be all of me in that space.
And how do you pick up whether it's your own inspiration that is saying like, hey, let's do more of this, or whether it's your fear voice saying you should post that because then they might like you more, you know? How do you think?
That's a tricky one. That's something I think I've been navigating through, because there's certainly been times where, and I think the more that I connect to myself, the more I can actually discern what is my fear voice and what is inspiration, because both of those things can bring up fears. And it's like, oh, is the ego, because ego is fear, right? And then so is inspiration can bring that fear as well. But then it's like, oh, do I, like, it's discernment. It's really discerning what feels right in your, like for me, what feels right in my body. I have to feel it in my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what does it feel like in your body that feels like inspiration?
It feels expansive. Like it feels like if I do this, like, wow, like I'm going to expand even more. It doesn't feel like it's going to constrict me.
Mm-hmm. And if it's your fear voice, how do you feel in your body?
If it's my fear voice, I can generally, it's almost as though it's like another person speaking at me, and my reaction to it is I laugh. Like, so it's like, something will come up and it's a fear, and it's like this constantly comes up with me and Roman. Oh, so like if there's something that comes up where I know that it's my fear voice, I'll listen to it and then I normally will laugh, and then I'm like, oh, okay, that's a bit ridiculous that I thought that.
I do that so much. Yeah.
I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I have, when I hear my fear voice, I have like three different levels of how I approach it. And at the first level, I'll be like, oh, that's fear.
Yes.
Good try, buddy. And then at the second one, I might like identify actually what is the fear and do optimal EFT or take the opposite action to the fear. So if it's like, don't do that, I'm like, I'm going to do it, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So yeah. Or use like a fear clearing thing, or even just talk to a friend where it's like just voicing it out.
Yeah.
And then at the third level, if it's really big, I'm like, mentor.
Help me navigate this.
Yeah. Generally, I have to get the mentor level if I can't identify what is the actual fear. But once I have identified the fear, I know how to clear it. But sometimes like my saboteur is so good, it tricks me for too long.
It can be.
Very tricky.
Very tricky.
Yeah. All right. So in your relationship, you two are incredible at navigating the triggers. So I don't know how much to talk for you guys. So so Roman and Annalie are incredible at noticing where they're placing the responsibility onto the other person in their relationship. So in the same case of what we were just talking about before, in terms of like, how are you still moderating yourself to be liked and approved of by someone else? Roman, can you share what is coming up for you about that in your relationship at the moment, and then how you have navigated that conversation as well?
Yeah, awesome. In relationship with Annalie or just in this is a big one for me in relationship, a big pattern to be liked by another or to have someone's feelings be more important than mine. And I think...
Sorry, I have to interrupt you. The podcast audience, that I can feel them, they were like, me too. Yeah. They're really hanging on what you say next.
Yeah. Oh, God. And I think this has been a huge part for me, and I think I can speak from a man point of view, from a man's point of view, is because I was so close to my mum, and I'd make her emotions more important than my own. So it's like, how do I make her happy, or how do I make my parents happy? And I think a lot, because I was the kind of people pleaser, the nice guy, all that stuff. So I made everyone else's, what they were feeling, what they were experiencing, more important. And what in turn I did is I had to cut off my emotions. I had to cut off my feelings, my experiences, so I could take on other people's emotions, because there was so much to take on. Literally, if I would feel all that, it would be so hard. So I literally had to, from a young age, cut off a lot of my emotions so I could take on other people's emotions and make that more important.
Wow.
And I would turn into whatever they would need me at that time. And I'd be quite sensitive to what people needed. You know, if people were sad, I'd kind of support them and know them what to do. Or my dad would be angry and I'd know how to. I was quite, in a way, it's also manipulative, right? In a way, it's manipulative. So I knew how to get out of trouble. Like if my dad was angry, I'd know what to say, what to tweak, where he'd go, yeah, whatever. And I'd get away with it. And that's throughout my life, I learned how to feel people and
respond
appropriately, to be seen as a nice guy, to be seen as the good guy, because I want to support, but it's also manipulative because I get something from it, because I get to be loved. So being in this relationship, what I'm finding and what I'm really delving into and really experiencing is making my feelings more important and having truth be more important than be liked. Because for me, for a long time, it's been being liked is more important than being honest and truthful. Like with how I feel, with what I'm experiencing, with how Annalise showing up, there might be some triggers where I won't say anything and I'll kind of suppress it because if I say it, I might not be liked. She might not approve of me. She might not love me. So I cut that part off and go, it's not a big deal. And what tends to happen, it kind of bottles up and there's a little bit there and a little bit here and I don't say anything and I don't say anything and it builds little resentments and then it comes off as passive aggressive. I'll make a comment and it'll be quite below the belt. And then Anna will be like, ouch. And I'm like, sorry, babe, I didn't mean that. Knowingly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right?
And me knowing too, going, well, why didn't you say anything? Yeah.
So this is quite a big thing for me where I'm coming into having truth be more important than being liked and making my feelings, my emotions, what I'm experiencing more important than anything else, more important than how Annalise is going to react, more important than if I'm going to look bad, especially like expressing anger or frustration or this more energy that we kind of deem as bad or negative or it shouldn't be there, but being okay with that so it doesn't turn into rage, because we have this perception that anger is bad, but it's, you know, this is where we set boundaries, where we say no, where we can be with ourselves and have that power. But for a long time I haven't been okay with anger, so like this is the part that I'm really working on and seeing huge shifts in being able to
express
that part of me and being okay with how Annalie responds with it, because also you know, I've shared my anger or frustration and Annalie would get triggered and then be like, see, I can't say anything, why do I say anything, because then it triggers Annalie and I'm like, see, I should just keep my mouth shut,
so then he gets triggered, so then I get triggered.
So I can't even say anything.
Yeah, and you two, this is what I'm so inspired by in you two, is that, Roman, you have said that you have stuff around expressing your anger, and then Annalie has told me that she's realized that you have stuff around that because she has stuff around expressing her anger. So when you express it, she remembers, like, unconsciously that she still hasn't owned her own anger, and she's like, no, you can't, because I'm not, so we can't, we just need to pretend. That's what I find absolutely incredible about the two of you. So how do you, when you're in the thick of it, like right there and that person has triggered you, how do you step back out and realize that everything is a mirror, you know? Or is everything a mirror? Like, I'm still not even sure I believe everything is a mirror. I know that you two... Like, so just for everyone listening, these two, I think, actually do believe that. But I believe there's like a small percentage where just because you're seeing anger in someone else, maybe it's because you judge anger versus like you are angry yourself. Like, maybe there's a different, if there's a trigger, there's something for you to learn. But I don't necessarily think it's always the exact same thing in yourself. That's my belief. But you two, I want to know, how do you go, oh, maybe he's not an asshole, maybe there's actually something for me to learn in the moment?
Well, we don't always get it right.
That's the first thing.
The first thing is that you're never going to be perfect at picking up your triggers all the time, because sometimes they play out on a subconscious level. And it's whether you choose to see it or not, because sometimes we choose not to see it. In that moment. But I feel as though communication is like the biggest thing, and noticing also if you are triggered, like being connected to self, because when you're not connected to self, you don't know when you're triggered. So if you've got that connection to self and you know what being triggered feels like in your body or how it makes you feel, then you've got a better chance of picking it up because you can feel it in your body. But if you're not connected, it's so difficult because you could just be like, I'm right. I'm right. Like, I am right and I'm going to prove my point. Like, and you just don't give in because you don't even know that you're actually triggered. And that just is a reflection of how you're not connected to yourself.
And it's a real, just to touch up on that while I remember, I don't want to interrupt you, but like, as soon as you go, I'm right, that's a trigger.
That's a trigger.
Right, that's the point where you go, ah, okay.
Okay, there's something
here because we want to be like, no, I'll show you. It's like the lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah.
As soon as you go, like, you stand in a point of view about anything, there's a judgment, there's a perception, there's something that you're trying to win. And as soon as that's that, it's like you got to check in with yourself. Like, oh, okay, what is it?
And sometimes it will tell you, no, you're not trying to be right.
Yeah.
Like it can trick you.
It'd be tricky.
It's very tricky to.
You're not trying to be right. You just are right.
Exactly.
Nice.
I just am.
Yeah, and I think at times you literally just have to pick yourself up and walk away.
Walk away.
Like, literally, at times we have both just gone, okay, there is no point talking about this. Mm. Like, and most of the time, Annalie's better, much, much better at it because I like to be dig my heels a little bit more.
He's stubborn.
So Annalie, she'll walk away and she'll just go in the room and I'll go in the room and we'll kind of just work and go, okay, what's going on? And sometimes it'll be like 10 minutes of just festering. Yes, she's like this. Why'd she say this? Yeah.
It's feeling the trigger as well, because sometimes what can happen, being self-aware, like we get triggered and we're like automatically go into fixing mode, like trying to get rid of the trigger, trying to work like through it. But it's like important to honor our feelings, like of what that trigger has brought up in, like, because it is medicine. It's medicine. It's an opportunity for you to learn something more about yourself. And sometimes we can be really quick to suppress it and go, because we're so self-aware, we shouldn't feel that. We shouldn't be triggered. And then it's really important, like what I've learned navigating through it is actually just allowing myself the space to feel it and to really honor what it brings up in me. And then in that feeling, I actually get the realization that it's connected to, oh, it's connected to that. It's connected to this, or this is why it's coming up. Because we don't allow ourselves to feel it, then we can't truly explore what it's trying to teach us.
Yes. Your triggers are your medicine. I love absolutely. That. Absolutely. Because in the spiritual community, there is such a thing of spiritual bypass where, like, I've been in conversation with people and I know I'm triggering them. And they're like, I'm so grateful for you saying that right now. And I'm like, are you? Because you look really pissed off, but you're just saying that you're grateful.
Yeah.
So I think we, like, you're right. Like, your triggers are your medicine, but only if you feel them. Like,
if you feel them, exactly.
And you can pretend, but the energy is still there. And we've done that before in a relationship where we've come like, you're good, yeah, we communicated, we're totally fine. But there's this energy of like, up yours. And then something will happen and then we'll get triggered right away because that hasn't fully been let go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like, yeah, we're fine, we're totally fine. But there's one of us is still holding on, or sometimes both. And then it's like, if it's not fully released and the medicine hasn't been
integrated
or the communication hasn't been fully expressed, it kind of festers there, and tiniest little thing, it's like, yeah, see, you're still there, and it's like, boom, right off, right where we start, and it's like, okay, we still haven't dealt with it, and so, and we've had stuff going, and it's interesting to see when the it's dynamics, gone, it's fully gone, like, it doesn't come up again, it's fully integrated, and that part of the shadow won't come the same way as it did the first
or
time.
As intense, like, the intensity starts to decrease. Yeah. Because I feel like you're always going to be dealing with triggers. Like,
yeah, of course.
It's just part of being human.
Yeah.
And the reason that you've chosen to partner together so that you can trigger each other.
Exactly.
So that you can keep getting the medicine. Like, if you stop triggering at some point, then like maybe it's not the right medicine for you in that relationship. Yeah. Oh, that's like a really difficult sentence. I don't want anyone to feel like their relationships have to be suffering in order for them to do that. But they're not like on the borderline. Like, we grow the most if we have the borderline of challenge and support at the same time. And that balance is really important in relationships so that we can continue to grow. Roman, you said something, and I really need to say this out loud, in that, you know how you said if you two have spoken and you're like, yeah, we're all good. Yeah, I'm good. I feel like the antidote to that is then going, if I was allowed to say really anything right now, what would I still want to say? I know I was with a friend of mine recently, and I had this experience where I just shrunk. Like, I don't, it's like actually unusual for me to do shrinking like that. But it took me back a few years when I shrunk a lot around a certain group of people, and I went straight back there and I shrunk just the same. Like, I actually was like almost incoherent in the way that I couldn't even respond properly. It was really crazy. Wow. And then I was like, oh, I could never say that to him. No way. And then I thought, oh, but could you? Like, what if you did? And then as soon as I thought, what if you did, I was like, he's an amazing man and an amazing friend, and he's going to hear me and that's going to be okay. And then he was like, oh, is that why you went weird earlier today? Like, it was amazing. And he actually held space for me to do, like, he was like, so what would you like to have done so that I can like heal that by going back to it? He was incredible. And it was only because I was like, but what if I did say that thing that I feel like I can't say? Like, the things that are the scariest for us to say are often the things that will heal us the most.
Totally. That's what we've experienced in our relationship, is that when we can be open and completely transparent and vulnerable in the things that we thought, oh my God, if I say this, this is the end of our relationship, or, you know, those things that really scare us, it's actually what has created more intimacy in the relationship, because we see more of each other. We see the imperfections. We can love ourselves through each other.
And what are some of the things, so that people who are listening can understand, you don't have to give your examples, but what are some of the things that they might be like not even realizing they've got going on inside, where they're like, if I said that, that would end the relationship. I would not be loved anymore. There's no possible way I could continue to be liked and loved. What are some of the examples that you've seen with yourself or with your clients that are usually festering away in there?
It could be like, it's interesting. We tend to think there's these big things that are scary for people, but it could be like these little things that, like,
internal processes
that you might be worried about money. And we don't share that. And this used to be for me, like, especially for men in relationships, like, they ask, how's your day? And Annalie would ask me, how's your day? And I'd be like, it was good. Went to work. It was fine. Or did some stuff, but there's all this stuff going on. Like, I was worried about money, or I was worried about how I was dealing with the kids and how the kids are going to grow up. And I had all these emotions moving through me internally, but like, I just wouldn't share that because I'm like, if I share that, I don't want to worry Annalie. I don't want to stress her out. She's got her own stuff.
So putting my feelings before yours. Yeah,
feelings. And it's those little things that when we can air them out, when I can go, hey, babe, I'm really stressed about money, and she can hear me in that, or I'm really worried about how the kids are growing up, or I'm like feeling that we're disconnected. Like, and it's sharing those little things and having that safe container where you're held inside of that that really creates that intimacy. And there's so many people that have unheard dreams that they don't share with their partner, because it's like, if I share that, will they accept me? Will they love me? Will they think I'm crazy? So they don't express their dreams. It's not always the bad stuff. People don't share their dreams, aspirations, what they really want, what they're craving to have in a relationship.
What they're longing for.
Like, sexually, it's like they want this, but they don't share that, because like, if I share this, it's like, well, they think I'm weird. Well, they think I'm crazy. So they don't explore. So they hold themselves small. And Then there's anxieties and fears and worries, like with Man and Lee, like I have my stuff about, like, is this the right relationship? Like previously, can you imagine like sharing that, you know, like I feel like, I don't know if you're the one. And being supported and she can understand it's got nothing to do with her. And this is kind of when we can see relationship as a way to grow, not to be happy. Because if we have a kind of way of viewing our relationship, if we're happy in the relationship is working well. I think it's a bad, I can't think of the word, but like a bad way of viewing your relationship if it's doing well or not.
Yeah.
Because if that was my gauge in happiness, you know what I'm saying? I'm unhappy, but there's so much growth and there's so much healing. I think healing is a word. And sometimes healing is not nice. It's not pretty. It doesn't feel good. But it's like what it creates is it really, really is magic. And for this to happen, happiness, like I said, it cannot coexist, like just this happy, happy relationship that a lot of people go for because it's their easier option. It's like, let's avoid the triggers. It's like, I know if I get angry, it triggers Annalise, so I'll avoid being angry. Then we'll just be happy.
But then he's not authentically being him, you know, and then that's
where we learn in these relationships, like actually to trigger each other is the growth, is the happiness, is where we expand more and more. And inside of that, that's where intimacy builds. That's where it's juicy. It's like it's so powerful when we can share those things with each other, where it's like it's so scary. It's like, oh my God, if I say this, and then we share it and we jump and we're held in that. And something, and even if we're not, then it's like dealing with that, dealing next, with that thing.
Can I just before I forget, like just in what you spoke about in like sharing all these different things, like what things could we share that we might think that we might not be loved in? And it's basically just our inner reality. It's how we perceive life. It's how we view life. It's how we experience life, because our experience is, like, my experience is totally different to Roman's experience. But if we can actually share that with one another, we can actually get one another. Like, we can truly get inside of each other's reality and understand why he would react a certain way, or why I would react to anger a certain way based on whatever happened in my past. So it's like literally sharing your inner reality with another person, because we make up stories, like, especially if it's not being communicated and we feel energy there, or we start to think, oh, what's going on with them? Are they pulling away from me? Do they not love me anymore? But we don't talk about it. And we don't talk about what that brings up for the other person, insecurities and all of that sort of stuff. So it gets all left unsaid. And then by the time, you know, it comes around, it's like the relationship has gone through hell and back, and there's just no way of retrieving anything. And that's, I think that's why, like, it's so important to be able to communicate your inner reality and say all the things you think that person might not want to hear.
It's like sharing the little resentments. Like, when you did this, it made me feel like this. Like, we don't share that. Or we wait until people explode. It's like it builds up. Like I was saying before, it builds up. And then we're like, this burst of rage or anger or whatever it is. And then it's like, boom. And the other person's like, whoa, where the fuck did that come from? It's like everything was fine. But it's like, if we can share those, like, those triggers, those communications,
emotions
right there and then, they don't build up. They get dealt with, and then it's like constantly clearing the slate.
It is. It's like there was one example, like, I was cooking dinner and Roman had said something, like, he'd made a request with his dinner or something like that, and my inner dialogue was like, who do you think I am, your maid? And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, babe, I really need to share this with you. This is what, because if I held on to that, I could have hooked into that story and then I could have gone with it and then the energy would have been there and then I hadn't said anything to him. I hadn't moved that energy through my body and voiced it. It could have stayed there and built up, and then something could have happened where I could have just gone, you know, like, and really just laid it into
him. Well, yeah, or I could have asked again, like, again, made another request. And I'm like, another one?
Yeah.
Are you making another one? It's like, that's it builds up.
Yeah. So it was my experience of like, my reaction to that. Mm. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And just voicing it. And it's just even saying that to him, like, and he didn't take it personally. You know, like, he doesn't take it personally. It's so important in a relationship, and especially when you're dealing with people, is not to take things personally.
And I know that you two know that my ego's name is Delilah, and you two have also named your egos and the kids' name, that the kids have named their egos as well.
They have.
So I can imagine that for you guys, Annalie, you could be like, oh my gosh, my ego, what is her name? I forget her name again.
Well, Gemma. Gemma, it is Gemma.
So you could be like, oh, guess what Gemma just said about you? And then it's like this awareness that our thoughts are not our truth. And that is so important, because one of the biggest fears for me in relationships is when someone says something about me, if they're like, Kiara, you were selfish in this moment, for example, I'm like, shit, I'm selfish, I'm never going to be good enough, but like, it spirals straight down. But if they're like, hey, do you think that Delilah was a bit selfish in that moment? I'll be like, oh yeah, Delilah. And it helps me to see the pattern. I, as a person, don't feel attacked. So then it's like, I don't know, my ego has like a little roundabout way of like being able to observe it.
Yeah.
And not feel like it was a direct attack.
Yeah.
Even though obviously my ego is Delilah, and so she was the one that was, I don't know how to explain it.
I get it. Totally get it.
Talking about it like it's the pattern or the behavior that isn't helpful versus the person. Yeah. And I think that's the key thing. Like, one of my mentors when I was like first starting in all of this stuff, she taught me a technique of like being with your partner and putting your arm around them and pretend like putting something else in like a chair across the room and be like, okay, so here's over there in that chair is the thing that we want to discuss together. We're going to work out that thing that's over there in the chair that is this pattern between us. And that means that you and your partner are on the same team talking about this external like behavior and thing that's not you. Whereas so often arguments are like one person on one side of the room, one person on the other, pointing fingers at each other. Like, it's like we need to recognize that the person, like the soul, is actually just absolute love. And whatever else is in between that is some kind of fear that you can either blame that person for having, or you can help them to release it. And that's the choice.
Totally.
And that's where healing comes in a relationship. This is why we believe relationships are the most powerful and quickest way to heal anything, because you have that constant mirror and constant, like, especially if you're in a relationship that's conscious and you're committed to growth. And I think that's where it can become powerful, when you can look at those triggers and you can have those conversations like, hey, I've got this fear, I've got this insecurity. And when that insecurity is being expressed, the other person doesn't take it personally. Yeah. It doesn't, their ego doesn't get triggered by their ego. So when another person's ego is triggered, the other person can be conscious and love that part of them in that moment. And when they love that part in that moment, it gets healed. Because they are witnessed in their most vulnerable, the most place they're like, I can't love this. And they're expressing that part of themselves that they don't love. And they are witnessed inside of that, and they are loved in that moment. Healing, that's where it transforms. It's like, oh my God. It's like you feel that love and connection and intimacy, and it just builds that relationship even more through that vulnerability, through that ego being loved in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's constant.
Roman, do you know, as you said that, I got goosebumps and I felt almost like I wanted to cry. Like, that's so beautiful. Yeah. And I have seen that happen in my friendships as well in the last 3 months, and particularly with you two. Like, both of you have shown me, oh, look at you.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. Oh, like, I can feel it.
Because in our friendships, even, we've gone, so actually I'm going to talk about something that's like vulnerable, yes, but we'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
So one night, Roman and I hung out. We didn't really realize that this is how it was going to work out. He was like, hey, I want to hang out. And I was like, cool, it's going to have to be in nature. And so then we went to a forest. We made the plans during the day, so it didn't seem that awkward. But then we got there, it was like 8:30 at night, and we're in the forest by ourselves, which in traditional relationships is super triggering for a man and a woman who, mm-hmm, like, the man is in a relationship to, and like the woman is single, it's even worse, right? Mm. For them to be alone together in a forest at nighttime. Anna Lee was like at first okay about it, and then she was like, hang on a second, I don't know if I, like, you know, she got triggered, like, I don't know, mm-hmm, if I do feel okay about that. Mm-hmm. And then Roman was like, I don't know how I feel about this, like, what if I can't be trusted? And then I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, what, like, you know, like, I need men to approve of me, like, what if I can't be trusted? And so all three of us in this little experience, all three of us just communicated that.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing with them, and then I'll come over to you guys as well. But like, Roman and Annalie had their conversation about their triggers. And then Roman and I had a conversation while we were walking in the forest alone together about our triggers. And I was like, yeah, I do really need men to approve of me still. Like, I'm working on it, but I still have that. So if you see me do anything that you see as like manipulation, that I need you to approve of me, can you just call it out? I'm like, because it's not me. It's just my pattern. So if you could do that. Mm. And then Annalie and I, the next day, we had a conversation about it as well. Mm-hmm. And all of us shared stuff that was scary, like me saying, hey, like, I'm with one of my best friend's partners and I don't even know if I do trust myself in this moment. Like, that is so vulnerable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of us, all of us did that and were loved in response. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge healing. And
it was massive healing for all of us. And it was so divine, like, mm-hmm, just divinely guided. I feel like it was like what our souls had orchestrated, like, before we came here, like, we're going to do this and we're going to bring up all the stuff that you need to heal around this.
Yeah.
And like, just talking about it, thinking about it, because, the conversations that we've all had, like, it's so heart opening and there's so much love there. There's just so much love, and it just, every time I think about it, like, I just want to cry because it's just so beautiful. I can't help it.
So let's just zoom out for a second. Here's a woman who had her partner hang out with another woman in a forest, and when she thinks about that experience, she feels so much love, she wants to cry. Like, that is the new paradigm of
totally the new paradigm.
And Annalie, that night you were so triggered. Can you tell us how you communicated your trigger in a way that didn't ask for Roman to change his behavior, but you expressed yourself? How, like, can you give people listening an actual template of how they can do that?
Yeah. So basically, when Roman came home and told me that he was going to be hanging out with you, initially I was like, yeah, this is what I asked for. Like, we had a conversation a couple of days prior to that saying, yeah, we'd be totally down for that. Initially I was like, yeah, I'm happy. Like, I could feel myself happy, and because I wanted Roman and you to be able to share that friendship as well. It's not just Roman's mine and Kiara's mine. Like, you know, the two people that I love, like, I would love for them to have a relationship and build a friendship as well. But it's that old template of wanting to, like, hold on to your sources of love. And when he came home and told me, initially my soul was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I could hear my fear voice coming in. And just was like, I don't know if I'm actually okay with this. So I voiced that and I said to Roman, I said, I just need to tell you this, but I think I'm triggered right now. And I can feel, like, I can feel that there's something there and I don't know if I'm okay with this. And I reiterated to him, because I knew, and this is me being aware of it at the time, because I could feel it in my body, I knew that I was triggered and that there was nothing for him to do. So I didn't put that responsibility on him. Whereas in the past, I might have gone into manipulation and gone, oh, but babe, I think we really need to spend more time together. Could you do it another night, or do, or try to get him to change plans for me? But I knew that wasn't the way that I wanted to go, because I've done that before. It doesn't bring you happiness. Like, it's just not the way that I want to be in a relationship. So I was really aware from feeling and just voicing it, just coming out and just saying, I'm really triggered right now. Can I share this with you? And he was okay with hearing what I had to say, because he knew it didn't have anything to do with me, with him. So I was able to just kind of say, this is what's going on. And then when he left, I felt all of it. All of it. It was, I was going to say a swear word, but it was intense. Like, all my insecurities, and it actually, what I realized, it didn't actually have anything to do with Roman or you, Kiara. It actually had to do with the way that I was being in previous relationships, where I hadn't actually expressed my insecurities. And it wasn't actually you two, because both of you haven't sort of given me any sort of indication that I can't trust you. You haven't shown that to me. But in my past relationships, I've had that shown to me, where I can't trust other people. So it really just brought all of that up to the surface to be healed. And I had to go through all of my insecurities, all of the fear voice telling me, like, what are they doing? Are they kissing? Are they hugging? Like, oh my God. Like, and it's so easy. You can see how easy it is. And this is where I was like, when I was feeling it all, I had to be aware, like, not to get hooked into the story. Because I can see how easy it was, like, in the past for me to get hooked, and you make up these stories and it's not even happening. But you're literally going, this is how it's playing out right now. Like, they're holding hands and they're kissing and they're doing this, and why are they doing this behind my back? And, or not behind my back, but, you know, do you know, all of that stuff, all of that wounding comes up, and it was all based in the past from previous relationships, and it had nothing to do with either of you. But it was so beautiful.
And so funny, because we do make those stories up, and then we feel the pain of that, and it never even happened. Like, why do we do that to ourselves? And for you, Roman, on your end of that, so one of the things that I find really interesting is, in conscious relationships, how much responsibility goes where. You know, like, we're all taking ownership, but then it's like, you kind of can't. So you want to take ownership for what you see around you, what you're creating around you. And at the same time, you want to go, I don't deserve to be treated like that. So you want to be able to set boundaries. And, like, there's, it's tricky. It's like a fine line.
It's so tricky.
All the ways around. So Roman, I would love to hear from your perspective, how do you navigate the commitment that you've made to be in a relationship and to honor this beautiful woman that you're with, and also to honor who you are and what you need? How did you navigate that, like, hearing her without taking the responsibility on, that it's like your job to make her feel safe in that moment, but still making mm-hmm. her feel safe without changing your actions, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, awesome. So I think what it really is, it's the intention. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know what my intention is going in. Like, I knew what was my intention going in meeting with you. Mm-hmm. So whatever is going on for Anna Lee is everything to do with her. Yeah. So she can have all of that come up, that craziness, that frustration, that fear, that whatever came up for her, I can allow that to be there because I know within myself
yeah.
what my intention is. And I don't have to change anything with her because I can love that because I'm connected to me. Like I'm connected to my source. I'm connected to my goodness, like my own power. And when I'm connected to my goodness, I can allow Anna Lee to be whatever way she is and love that part of her and not need to change her because I know it's got nothing to do with me. So, but if my ego got triggered because like I seen because I'm very similar, like my previous relationship was 3 years and I was cheated on her a lot. And Anna Lee knows about this.
Which is why it triggered
a lot of stuff, right? But I knew my intention this time. But before, I would have to be like, what, you don't trust me? What you said was fine? And my ego would got triggered that I'm not trustworthy. What, you don't trust me? So that's from previous. Then that would have been like lights are on no one's home because I'm not connected to my goodness. Because I would have been triggered by I'm untrustworthy, you don't trust me, because that's what happened in my previous relationship where it would be constantly checking and she had every right to, right? But I'd be like, why you don't trust me? So I would have easily brought that past pattern into this relationship and would have had this huge argument about not trusting me. But when I can let Anna Lee have hers and be okay with my intention and being connected to who I am, I can allow Anna Lee to be any way she wants to be without being triggered because it has nothing to do with me. And that's where the true power is being connected to our own goodness. Because then we can collapse into like, oh, I'm my God, enough. I'm not enough. I did something wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And why did I do that? And go into this whole thing. And okay, maybe I shouldn't go then. Let's not worry about that. That's like an old template of the relationship. It's like, let's avoid those triggers. It's like, oh my God, I triggered Anna Lee. Okay, I just won't go, babe. It's not a big deal. And that would have been easy to do as well. To go, why? It's quite in way, babe. Let's just, I won't go. It's no big deal. And I'll just cancel the thing. And that's what it would have been.
But it would have showed up somewhere else.
Yeah, it would have showed up somewhere else. So it's so important. And this pattern has played out before, where Anna Lee got triggered by something else about her insecurities and I could hold her in that because I know it's got nothing to do with me. I know my intention. But if I had a guilty conscience and there was a different intention, I'd want to defend that.
Yeah, I hear you.
But when we are clear and connected to our goodness, there's nothing to defend. So we can let the other person be. But when we are defending something, then it says more about the defense. So what are you trying to defend?
So true. Every time we're trying to defend, that's a good indication to come back in. And so in this, I want to like summarize by like coming back to then what was it that I was experiencing in that? So I like heard from Roman and my soul was like, only if it's in nature because I'm too tired and I can't hang out with anyone if it's not. Like I needed nature to hold me. And then when he wrote back and said, you Yangs, I was like, I wanted to go there today. Amazing. Like it felt so soul guided.
Yes.
And then at one point I thought, should I check with Anna Lee and see how she feels? And then my soul was like, no, it's okay. You got this. And so from my perspective, I got so much out of that experience because I was like, I trusted my soul. I trusted what lit me up in that moment, and I didn't let the ideas or constructs that I've heard from other people sway me, and I trusted you both to handle your own stuff in your own relationship as well. And then I just rocked up and did what was soul guided in that moment, and it created this epic healing for all of us. And so I got so much that the only job that I have and that any of us have is to trust that guidance inside of us in any moment, and we cannot be the ones that judge what happens outside of that. If I had judged it as hurting Annalie, yes, then I would have stopped you from having, yes, that healing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, like our job is just to trust our guidance and not judge what's happening around it. And also, Roman, just like you, I was like, I know what I'm going for. Like, I'm going to hang, yeah, out with a friend. So it was, yeah, easier to do it that way. Yeah, so cool. I love that we shared that experience because, yeah, it did bring up so many triggers and so, mm-hmm, much healing in the way that it was navigated. I think I can feel the podcast audience really enjoyed hearing how we navigated, mm-hmm, that. Yeah, you two are so incredible at the way that you do this whole triggers in relationships thing. And
we've had a lot of practice.
Lots of triggers.
Lots of triggers.
Yeah. Actually, Roman, you said at one stage about if we define the success of our relationship based on the happiness versus the growth, that is like a bit skewed or unhelpful. And I like want to summarize the whole podcast by being like, if we do that with ourselves, with our own, mm-hmm, relationship with ourselves, yeah, which is, mm-hmm, what I used to do. If I'm happy all the time, I'm a successful person.
Yeah.
That was something that I could never have lived up to. And it, mm-hmm, also blocked my expansion and my growth. And the same thing in a relationship with someone else. Like if we're ignoring the shadows and hiding them, we are not, like, that's not helping our like practice here that we're doing on Earth School. We are here to grow. So yes. Yeah, so I love that you guys talk so openly about your triggers because it's so important, yeah, that other conscious relationships or hoping to be conscious relationship see that it's not always easy at all, but it is a growth opportunity and it does allow you to come into more love as well with the person you're in the relationship with. But your love that you two are doing inside of your relationship has just like continued to ripple out into all your other relationships as well, which is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. So if people want to come and find out more about you and connect with you, how do they find you too?
Well, we've got a website. It's www.romananalee.com.
Awesome. And Annalie, Roman is spelled like, you'll get that part, but Annalie,
yes.
Annalie is A-N-N-A-L-I-E.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. And and Annalie does intuitive weekly readings.
Love
of
guidance.
Some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So you want to go and find them on Facebook as well so you can get access to that because she does incredible guidance each week as well. Thank you both so much for being on the show with me.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was a blast.
Yes, always is.
Our podcast audience, you all got to listen to, like, this is, we have chats like this just sitting on the couch hanging out. So we just thought we'd open it up and let you listen.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thank you. I hope that you loved listening to these two incredible people just as much as I love them and I loved being able to share them with you. And the fun did not stop there. We continued and we went on to talk in the secret episode about Annalie and Roman's morning rituals, and they're very different to each other. Why Roman is loving moving away from mastery and towards constant learning instead. How they both close the energy for their day. How this incredible couple tackle relationship maintenance and the agreements and rituals that they use to maintain their connection. One of them was really cool. I loved being able to hear about it. So you can hear all about that at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. That's where you get access to this secret episode and to every other secret episode where we dive behind the scenes on what is really going on in their lives, the guest lives. So you can do that. And if you would like to also join a group of hundreds of lightworkers who
who are rising together and supporting each other in a really safe, sacred space online. You're most welcome to come and join us free at the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group. So you can search that in the toolbar, or you can just go to facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising, and you can come and join us there. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, if you got something out of it, if you feel like it has freed you in some way to see relationships more as growth and not try to be perfect in them, or to try and find the perfect partner who won't trigger you because it's the opposite of what we're looking for, then I would love for you to share this episode with the people that you love as well. So if you can hit share and tag me in it so that I can see that you're sharing and I can thank you for that, I would be so grateful, because the more people that hear these kind of messages, the more unconditional love we're birthing into the world, and that is pretty fucking special to me. So thank you for being a part of that movement. As always, if there is anything that I can do to support you, you can find me at aninspiredlife.com.au, or just reach out on Facebook or Instagram and connect with me, because it is so nice always to hear what this brings up for you, what you're learning as I'm learning with you. So it is a pleasure to hang out with you each week, a pleasure to hear from you when I do, and it is my honor to serve you on this journey. I wish you all the best for this week, and I will chat to you next week. Bye for now. Mwah.